One morning, hinatid ko si Dean papunta sa office. Usually I enjoy driving in the morning, ano, morning person kasi ako. And habang nagda-drive po ako, konti lang ang sasakyan. Pero napansin ko sa aking rearview mirror habang nagda-drive is yung mga kotse sa likod biglang nagtatabihan. So noon na hindi ko pinansin, baka mga exit or something. And all of a sudden, feeling ko ako na lang yung nandun sa linya na yun at biglang may mga ilaw na nagpa-flash. So from there, nasa, kung ang lane is 1, 2, at saka 3, nasa third lane ako. So in short, tinutukan ako sa likod, tapos pinatawis, so tumabi ako. And from there, sunod-sunod na yung mga malalaking sasakyan, naka-flash lahat ng mga ilaw, tapos may mga SUV, tapos may mga police din. So at first, I was trying to figure out ano nangyayari. So until it dawned on me, ito na siguro yung convoy ni Sheikh Mohammed. And from there, tumabi ako lahat kasi kami nandun hanggang third lane na kahit wala masyadong sasakyan. And from there, sunod-sunod yung malalaking SUV. I was really excited and hoping na makasulyap na ng first time. And from there, eto na, nakita ko na yung white G63 na AMG. Nakikita ko ho, papalapit. Tapos heavy yung tint. And from there, nakita ko one. And after nang dumaan, kasi wala siyang mga kasabay. Kumbaga nasa gitna siya. Tapos yun ulit, may mga convoy niya. That was really exciting, no? It's somehow a glimpse ng nakikita ko yung entrance ng royalty. It's a royal drive-through, ika nga. It's a royal entry. Now, iniisip ko, bakit kailangan ganun ang mga spacing, kailangan maraming sasakyan? And then it dawned on to me, all of these are essential. All of these are necessary for a king, for protection, for everything na mga taong kailangan niya. You know, there was another royal entry na nangyari years ago, but ang pagkakaiba lang ng royal entry na ito, there was no SUVs, there were no flashing lights, even nung time nilang yon, there were no chariots, there were no soldiers na nauuna, there was no stallion na kung saan nakaupo yung hari na magandang kabayo. It was an entourage, it was a royal entry. Pero ang nakikita lang natin doon ay mga palaspas, yung mga balabal na nasa sahig, mga disciples na naglalakad, isang crowd na excited, and then si Jesus na nakasakay sa donkey. That was a royal entry. So bakit ganon? It's because yung mga balabal na yon, yung mga palaspas na yon, yung donkey na yon was essential. Were essential. Were essential para malaman na ito na ang King. We're going through a series sa ating sermon sa Gospel according to Mark. And ang nagsulat po nito is si John Mark. Yung time po na ito is we're trying to study and meditate and read patungkol sa life at saka ministry ni Jesus Christ. Nagwakas tayo last week sa chapter 10 na kung saan may isang bulag na si Bartimaeus who introduced the Messiah, who used yung title na masasabi, messianic title ni Jesus Christ, which is the Son of David. At tama lang po ang pagkabanggit po niya ng title na yun kasi papasok na sila ngayon sa Jerusalem at yun yung tamang title na dapat gamitin, na ito na ang Messiah. So, rightful po yung pag-address sa kanya because it is going to be a triumphal entry. It will be a royal entry ni Jesus that he's saying in all of these, and we're going to look at a lot of Old Testament prophecies and things that points sa time na ito. And from there, we will see that si Jesus talaga yung King of Kings. My prayer tonight, as we study itong passage na ito, ay makita natin kung sino talaga itong messianic king na ito. And yung layunin niya, why he came. Okay? And ang prayer ko ay hindi lang tayo magkaroon ng understanding o magkaroon ng pag-uunawa. Ang panalangin ko rin po ay lumagablab ang ating pagsamba sa Kanya. That's why ang point natin ngayong gabi is this. Rejoice and delight in the King who came to save. Rejoice and delight in the King who came to save. If you have opened your Bibles or you can follow along the screen, ito po yung pagkakahati ng ating passage. Number one, Christ's sovereignty over subsequent events. Christ's sovereignty over subsequent events, verses 1 hanggang 7. Number 2, crowd's misguided passion and expectations. Crowd's misguided passion and expectations, verses 8 hanggang 11. Let's jump right into our first point, number 1. Christ's sovereignty over subsequent events. Look at verse 1. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, okay, to Bethphage and Bethany and the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples. Now hinto muna tayo dyan. Last week nakita po natin na ang bulag na si Bartimaeus na pinagaling ni Jesus ay sumama sa kanya palabas ng Jericho and marched with Jesus papunta sa Jerusalem. Dito naman sa ating context, nandito sila ngayon sa lugar na tinatawag na villages ng Bethphage at saka Bethany, na kung saan siya po ay lumalabas sa 2.4 kilometers papunta sa Jerusalem, medyo malapit na. No? So nandun sila na into, inutusan ni Jesus ang dalawa sa kanyang mga disciples at meron siyang specific details or instructions na binigay sa kanya. So ano yung details at saka instructions na yun, Pastor? Well, let's look at verse 2 hanggang 3. And said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord need of it, and will send it back here immediately. So binigyan ni Jesus ng instructions yung dalawang disciples niya. Okay? At ang instruction ay kumuha ng colt. Ang colt po ay kadalasan tawag sa isang batang kabayo or any animal. Pero in this context, inaaral natin, it's more of a donkey. Pansinin ninyo kung gaano ka-detailed yung instructions na binigay ni Jesus sa verses 2 hanggang 3. Okay? Jesus was not just looking for a donkey. He was looking for a young donkey na hindi pa nasasakyan ni numan o ng anuman. At kailangan ito kalagan para mapakawalan. That's how detailed yung instructions na ito. That's why I was trying to ponder, sino kaya yung isa sa dalawang disciples na ito? Kung ganito ka-detail at alam niya kung ano nangyari, hindi kaya si Peter yung isa doon? Bakit si Peter? Kasi di ba meditations at saka teachings ni Peter yung pinanggalingan ng pinagsulatan ni Mark? Just pondering, maaring si Peter. Again, Jesus doesn't make requests like this randomly. It's very specific, it's very elaborate, so hindi po ito aksidente. Ito ay may, again, significance. Ang mga ganitong klaseng mga animals are regarded as suitable for sacred purposes. These are type of animals na kung saan hindi pa nasasakyan, mga beast of burdens na hindi pa nagagamit. It's very significant sa Numbers 19:2, sa Deuteronomy 21:3, 1 Samuel chapter 6, ginagamit po yan for sacred purposes. So again, this is somehow symbolism na tinuturo ng Panginoon. Hindi lamang niya binigyan ng detailed instructions regarding sa type and condition ng donkey, kundi binigyan din niya kung ano ang isasagot kung sakaling questionin siya. Alright? And what's amazing is, nangyari nga lahat ng sinabi ni Jesus. What he said was accurate. Ayon sa pagkakasunod-sunod ng events, ayon sa pagkakasabi niya. At tingnan po ninyo yung verses 4 hanggang 7. And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to him, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus had said. They let go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw with their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Alam niyo kung babagalan niyo lang yung basa nito at pagbubulayan, ano? Nakakapagtaka din nung kinwestiyon sila ng may-ari kung bakit nila kinukuha yung donkey, ang simple lang ang sagot ng mga disciples, ito lang ang paliwanag, the Lord has need of it, and we will send it back immediately. Yun lang. Pwede nilang dagdagan, pwede nilang bawasan, pero yun lang. Anong sagot? Binigay nila, walang tanong-tanong, pinahiram. You know, if you were just to meditate on this, naturally, hindi po nangyayari yung mga ganito eh. Kung isipin mo, ano isang typical na lugar sa probinsya, may mga donkey na katali dyan, yung may-ari, nakaupo, nagpapahinga, no? Kakatapos lang siguro ng trabaho. And all of a sudden, napansin niya, may dalawang disciples na kinakalagan yung donkey. Here's what happens in a natural world. Anong ginagawa nyo? Anong ginagawa nyo dyan? Ba't yung kinukuha yan? Pasensya na, sir. Kailangan kasi to ni Lord. Babalik namin kagad. Here's what happens in a natural setting. Ganun ba? Si Lord pala, sige, aminin tali, sasakalin ko kayo. Anong Lord yan? Kumayos nga kayo rito, mga magdanakaw. Yun po sa natural setting. Yun po nangyayari. Walang magtitiwala ng ganon. Di ba? So, ang question ngayon, now, we don't know kung bakit pinahiram ng may-ari yung donkey na ito. Some speculate na baka maaaring kilalang kila si Jesus sa Bethany. And kapag sinabing Lord, automatic na isip nila si Jesus na ito. O maaring itong may-ari na ito may personal encounter kay Jesus. Kaya when sinabing kailangan ni Jesus, immediately binigay. So we do not know. The reason was not obvious sa text. However, what is obvious is the detailed accuracy of Jesus' prediction. That's obvious. The subsequent event was unusually accurate. Okay? O ang pagkakasunod-sunod ng mga kaganapan ay hindi pangkaraniwan. It was too detailed and it was too accurate nung nangyari. Diba? As if someone na may time machine na bumalik from the future, bumalik sa past, at sinabi, eto yung gagawin mo kasi eto yung mangyayari at bumalik sa future. Or, either that, or this tells us that Jesus not only foreknew the events that were to unfold, but ordained everything that is about to happen. I think I like this better. Yung pangalawa. This is not going to be the first time sa book of Mark na gagawin niya ito ni Jesus. Kung pupunta ka sa Mark chapter 14, ginawa niya ulit ito. Dalawang disciples ulit ang kanyang inutusan. Para kumuha naman ng kwarto na kung saan sila magpapalipas ng Passover. Dinescribe ni Jesus kung anong itsura ng kwarto. Bago niya inutusan na ano itsura ng kwarto, parang pinag-abang lang niya. Pag may nakita ka ng mamang ganitong tao, sundan ninyo. Huwag niyo kausapin, sundan niyo lang. Pag pumasok siya sa isang kwarto, yun na yun. Tapos may mama dyan, tanungin mo, kailangan ni Lord. The same thing, kailangan ni Lord ng kwarto. Sa taas. And from there, dinescribe ni Jesus Christ kung ano yung magiging itsura ng kwarto. Interestingly, Mark chapter 14, verse 16, ito po nangyari. And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. Pareho. So this is not the first time yung nangyari dito. Sa 14, nangyari rin po ito. Friends, this demonstrates Jesus' omniscience. O yung pagiging all-knowing ni Jesus, an attribute na pwede lamang manggaling sa Diyos. Yung tinatawag na divine knowledge. Friends, you hear this many times sa church ito, God is sovereign. When we say God is sovereign, He is in control of everything. Nothing happens in this world that He has not ordained. Let me allow us sa oras na to na yung scripture magturo sa atin. Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Job 42 verse 2. I know that you can do anything, sabi ni Job, in the midst of suffering. No plan of yours can be thwarted or mahadlangan. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 37 to 38. Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it or ordained it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? Psalms 139, verse 16, your eyes saw me when I was formless, sabi ni David. All my days were written in your book. Sinabi dyan, all my days, araw-araw, mga hindi pa nangyayari, mga nakaraan at mangyayari pa lang. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Napakalinaw po ng sovereignty ng Panginoon. Mga kaibigan, walang nangyayari sa buhay mo ngayon na hindi pinlano, na hindi alam, na hindi kinaloob ng Panginoon. Friends, this should not cause us to be fearful or doubtful, but it should cause us to be worshipful. That there is a God who knows exactly what's going on sa buhay mo because He ordained it. Now, how is this comforting, Pastor? Medyo mabigat to, parang hindi nakaka-comfort to. Let me give you a few sub-points. Unang-una, God's sovereignty should comfort us because God is sovereign. Bagamat na siya sovereign, He is also good. So ano ibig sabihin nito? Yes, God is sovereign over all, but He is always good and He never does anything that is evil. Wala siyang ginagawa ng mga bagay na hindi masama o makasalanan. Lahat ng pagsubok, lahat ng paghihirap, lahat ng sakuna, lahat ng sakit, lahat ng mabibigat na pinagdadaanan ng bawat isa, kasama ang pagdisiplina ng Panginoon, is used to sanctify us. It's used by the Lord to test us. It's used by the Lord to discipline us. God also uses these to comfort us. Kung ano man ang nature ng trial mo ngayong oras na ito, ito po ay naka-custom design ng Panginoon para sa iyo. Custom fit sa iyo. Anong reason, Pastor? I don't know. But here's what we do know. It is for your good and my good, and ultimately, it is for His greater glory. Siya ang mabibigyan ng kaluwalhatian sa pinagdadaanan mo. Again, I'm just talking to Christians. If you have repented from your sins and trust Jesus' finished work on the cross, then that message is for you. Eh, paano ako, Pastor? Then the sad news is, there's nothing but judgment if you do not have Jesus. I'll explain how. Magkakaroon tayo ng forgiveness sa Panginoon. So God is sovereign, but He's also good. Second, God's sovereignty causes us to humbly trust Him and rely on His grace. God's sovereignty causes us to humble ourselves before Him, to trust Him, and rely on His sovereign grace. We can find comfort in knowing that we can trust God's word and God's promises. We can trust Him. Our source of strength is not ourselves, but on Christ's strength. Doon ang gagaling yung ating lakas. At doon ang gagaling ating kumpiyansa. Hindi pa so, di ba, dapat positive thinking lang yan. Kung positive thinking tayo, good vibes kada morning, comfort food, lahat, di ba, magiging okay tayo. I mean, that can work for a time. Paano kung naubos ng lakas mo? Paano kung yung reason mo is you're losing your sanity because of your problem? Paano yung mga inaasahan mong relationships are failing you? Paano ko yung youth mo, youthful strength mo, is starting to deteriorate? Where do you go? Well, first of all, these things happen because God is correcting our hearts that you should not rely on these things. When trials come, God sovereignly humbles us and teaches us to trust on Him and His grace. It's the same thing sa pinakamagaling at tanyag na apostle na ang pangalan ay Paul. Kung meron man hindi dapat makatikim ng paghihirap, kung meron man dapat hindi nakakaramdam ng sakit, eh si Apostle Paul, the evangelist to the Gentiles. Dami niyang church plant, lahat ng shuns sa New Testament, pinlant niya yun. Pero ano sinabi niya? Meron siyang thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what is this thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians, na sinasabi niya. It's a message from a messenger from the devil, torments me day and night, 3 times, I prayed, yun ang sabi niya. Pero hindi nawawala, dahil hindi ba effective ang prayer ni Paul? No, because there's a reason. Because here's the reason, 2 Corinthians 12:9. But my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfect in weakness. If you feel limited na yon sa situation mo, if you feel dried up, we draw from the fountain of grace nang gagaling sa Panginoon. third sub-point, God's sovereignty fuels our worship. God's sovereignty fuels our worship. If we believe that God is always in control when things seems out of our control in our lives, then we start to look away from ourselves and we start to focus on God at yung kanyang mga beauty. Ang kanyang beauty, ang pag-worship mo sa kanya. Now, this is not to say na you have to deny yung iyong nararamdaman, magbulag-bulagan, magtakip ng tenga sa ating mga pahihinakit o problema. Hindi po yun. Because there's something special happens when a Christian who is suffering and he worships or she worships. Because the focus now is not on you. The focus now is on your Creator. The focus now is on your Savior. The focus now is His promises. The focus now is that all things work together for good. I don't know how drained you are this week. I don't know how many loved ones who are suffering right now dahil sa pandemic. I don't know how the economic status ng ating bansa o ng mga kumpanya is affecting you. Trust that God's grace is sufficient for you. Worship takes us away from our self-serving hearts and to serve and glorify God the Father who deserves all our praises. According to J.I. Packer, the late J.I. Packer said, people treat God's sovereignty as a matter of controversy, but in Scripture, it is a matter of worship. God's sovereignty is a matter of worship. Worship diminishes self-focus and redirects our hearts to the only true worthy of our honor and praise, Jesus. The disciples brought the donkey to Jesus. At pinatungan na lang ng balabal. It served as a saddle. Alam mo yung kabahay, di ba may nilalagay na saddle? So, ang purpose nung kaya nilagay nila kay Jesus para maging komportable yung upo ni Jesus. I don't know kung paano inupo ni Jesus, but that will provide comfort. Okay? So, and from there, inupuan niya, and from there, pumasok, bumiyay sila. Again, we're not just talking about Jesus and the 12 disciples. There are crowds who are with Him. Disciples, mga marami sila. And they're all marching towards Jerusalem. Yung po setting, di ba? Nung papunta sila, nung galing sila ng Jericho, ang nauunang naglalakad si Jesus sa sumusunod yung mga disciples, sa yung mga crowd. Yung pa rin ang setting, here comes Jesus on the donkey and then marching towards Jerusalem. Yung po ang itsura ng setting na ito habang sila ipapasok. Pastor, ano nangyari pagpasok nila sa Jerusalem? Well, tingnan natin yung second point, tapos basahin natin yung verse so we can find out. Second, crowds, misguided passion expectation. Sabi sa verse 8, and many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. Ang pagpasok ni Jesus sa Jerusalem ay medyo dramatic, no? Kadalasan po si Jesus ay naglalakad kapag may gusto siyang puntahan, pero this time, siya ay naglalakbay na nakaupo sa isang asno or donkey. So this means, again, this is intentional. Hindi siya napagod. This was intentional. He arrived to be purposefully noticed. Paano siya mananotice? I'll tell you later. He entered in this fashion to declare himself as the Son of David, the Messiah, the King of the Jews, in that type of fashion. Pero bakit donkey, Pastor, at hindi yung stallion man lang, di ba? Tapos may mga chariots, di ba? Yung mga big time na, di ba? Hari, dapat pag hari, hari, dapat itsurang hari lahat. Well, here's the reason. One of the reasons why he rode a donkey, it's because he was fulfilling a prophecy about the coming Messiah, which is yung binasa kanina ni Brother Dave sa Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And I'll read it to you again. Ito yung prophecy. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion! Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem! Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So it was prophesied. Tapos, ang paglagay pa ng mga tao ng kanilang mga balabal, nagpipitas ng mga sanga, ito yung madalas pinapractice na yung paggaway-gay ng palaspas, di ba? Lahat din po yun, nasasaad din sa Old Testament yun. Okay? The people were doing that as a sign of their public display ng kanilang royal homage or yung pag-honor nila sa isang king. That's the imagery na nangyayari doon. Nangyari na ba yun sa Old Testament? Yes. 2 Kings 9. Jesus fulfills a prophecy about the coming Messiah sa 2 Kings 9. When Jehu was declared as king, tignan mo yung ginawa ng mga tao when Jehu declared na siya'y naging hari sa Old Testament. Then in haste, every man of them took his garment and put it under him on the bare steps and then blew the trumpet and proclaimed, Jehu is king. So may nilatag, tapos may proclamation. Eh bakit kay Jesus, asno lang, tapos latag? Ah, may proclamation din. Ano yung proclamation? Ang proclamation po ay makikita sa verses 9 to 10. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Ang mga, here's the picture. Jesus, ang mga tagasunod niya, actually yung mga nagsisigaw ron, hindi taga-Jerusalem, yung mga tagasunod niya. Habang papalapit si Jesus, nagtakbo. Hosanna! Hosanna! Nandiyan. He's like a town crier preparing for the coming of the king. Hosanna! Blessed is the name of the Lord. Eto na siya! Eh, siyempre, nagkakaroon ng, may naglalaba dyan. May nako, eh, sino-sino parating? Tapos, yun na, dumog na yung tao nga. Siya ba yun? Ah, si Jesus! Oh, nagpagpinagaling niya yung junior ko. And then from there, yun yung scenario. Pati yung mga nasa likod niya, ganun din. So, it was a celebratory event. Jesus, this is isang malaking celebration. Of course, Jesus knows the real reason kung bakit ginagawa niya. Pero yung mga tao, iba ang nasa isip nila. We'll explain mamaya. Now, yung ganong klaseng approach, again, heralds Old Testament writings. Pero tanongin mo na, ano ba ibig sabihin ng Hosanna? Hosanna literally means, save us now. Yun ang ibig sabihin ng Hosanna. Or, help us succeed. Pero in this context, I believe it is, Hosanna means save us now. So ang pagkagamit ng mga tagasunod ni Jesus ng title na ito is in a way an exclamation of praise of the coming King who will save them, which echoes Psalm 118, another Old Testament verse. Verse 25, save us, we pray, O Lord, we pray, give us success. That's Hosanna. Now kung meron doon sa Jerusalem na kung saan matinik pagdating sa Old Testament, makikita niya lahat 'to eh. Mapapapansin niya 'yon, magkakaroon siya ng idea kung anong ibig sabihin ng mga signs na ito. This is saying that Jesus is declaring himself as the fulfillment of the prophecy of the coming king, the Messiah from the line of David who will save his people, and the people following Jesus declared him as king and they were expecting him to be the king. Isaiah 29, verse 18. In that day, here's the reason why they're confident that he's the Messiah. Because there's Old Testament references. In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see. Wala kayo naalala sa last part na yan? Di ba nangyari na yan? Kailan? Last week nangyari yan. Hindi ba nangyari yan sa Jericho nung pinagaling niya si blind Bartimaeus? People saw that. People saw yung mga hindi nakakarinig, nakakarinig na. This is the reason why the people were passionate about this. Kasi sa ang kanilang passion is fueled by their expectation na siya ang Messiah. That was their passion. If you're passionate about something because you're expecting something that will happen. Ang problema lang sa mga grupo na ito, mali ang expectation nila. Yeah, that's the problem. Yes, they're passionate, pero mali ang expectation. Okay? Ang kanilang expectation is misguided. Gaya ng mga disciples, they believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the King from the line of David, yes. They believe him as a, pero ito problema, they believe him as a political Messiah, a political King who will set them free from the rule of Rome. When they shouted, Hosanna, save us, ito nasa isip nila. They were asking for a person, hindi sila naghahanap ng personal salvation. They were asking for a national restoration, a political revolution. Kaya isipin nyo yung nangyayari sa mga disciples. Yes, ito na ang hari, kami yung mga kanang kamay niya. Kaya mayabang eh. Kaya ilang beses sila na-rebuke. So ganito rin yung mga sumusunod sa kanya. Ito na yung hari. Naalala ba rin nyo sa Mark chapter 6? Sa feeding of the 5,000? Ganito rin yung nangyari. Pagkatapos yung pakainin ng mga 5,000 mama, gusto na siyang gawing hari, hindi ba? Tinakasan lang ni Jesus kasi ang gusto nilang hari ay yung hari na in-expect nila gagawin, yung gusto nilang gawin. That's the type of king ang gusto nila. A king who will do what they're expecting that king to do. They want him to set them free from Rome. Mangyari ulit yung mangyari ulit yung glory days ni King David, that there was peace, there was prosperity, there was bounty sa land. Gusto nila yon. Eto na yung Messiah, babalik na tayo sa ganung kasarap na buhay. That's what they're saying. Okay? E ano ba sinabi ni Jesus patungkol sa kanyang kaharian? This time we look to another gospel book, sa John chapter 18 verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. Hindi yan yung pagkakaakala nila. They were passionate, yes. Ang passion nila ay fueled by their expectation about King Jesus. Pero ang problema, ang expectation nila kay King Jesus is misguided. Bakit kamo? Because they were selective sa gusto nilang basahin, aralin, pakinggan patungkol sa salita ng Diyos. And I'm not surprised kasi yun ang tinuturo sa kanila ng mga mangangaral nila noong time na yon. Friends, be careful sa pag-follow or pakikinig o pagbasa ng mga mangangaral na punong-puno ng passion, punong-puno ng enthusiasm, who quotes Bible verses and explain it any way they want. Be careful. Mentioning a Jesus and God's will na hindi naman tinuturo sa Bible. We have a lot sa panahon natin ngayon. And if you catch me teaching something like that, you need to call me out. You need to lovingly pull me aside and show me from Scripture. Pastor, medyo mali na yung sinabi mo. I need to know. And I pray that hindi ako mahulog sa ganung klaseng katuruan. That I would find God's Word sufficient enough. Friends, be careful sa mga sinusundan natin sa social media. The people did not know kung bakit si Jesus ang Messiah. That's the problem. They know He's the Messiah, pero hindi nila alam talaga anong ibig sabihin ng Messiah. The people did not know. Kasi it will boil down that they did not understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were reading and listening to God's word selectively. Mga kaibigan, selective ka ba sa pagbabasa, sa pag-aaral, sa pakikinig, o paniniwala mo sa salita ng Diyos? Selective ka ba sa mga gusto mo lang ituro o gusto mo lang ipamuhay patungkol sa salita ng Diyos? Ang gusto mo lang pakinggan, paniwalaan at sa pamuhay ay ang mga bagay na gusto mo lang paniwalaan sa iyong buhay. Na ang gusto mo lang na Kristo ay ang Kristo na magbibigay sa iyo ng kayamanan, kalusugan, kaginhawaan at kasaganahan. Isang Kristo na magpapakawala sa iyo sa kahirapan, maiaangat ka sa utang, sa karamdaman, isang Kristo na susunod ayon sa kagustuhan mo. That's what happens, friends, if you try to pick and choose what you want to hear and follow and teach from Scripture. You become Christ sa buhay mo. Mga kaibigan, hindi ito ang Kristo ng Biblia, kundi isang Kristo ng ating imahinasyon. If we try to pick and choose what to follow and teach, then we're creating our own Jesus from our own imagination. And Paul says the same thing in Acts chapter 17, verse 29. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. Friends, we are no different from these people nung time ni Jesus. We don't want the God of the Bible, that's why we create our own God. A God that is custom-made para sa atin. A God who will profit, we will profit from. Ang tawag po dyan ay Diyos-Diyosan. Ang tawag po dyan ay kasalanan. Kung titignan po ninyo yung verse 11, Jesus entered the temple one night, yung gabing yon, to see if yung temple area na to was used accordingly the way God wants it to be used. To his dismay, nakita niya yung lugar na yon, and we will have more details next week, na yung place na ito was being used for their own profit. And we will see God's anger next week. Friends, this is the very reason why Christ came. He came to set us free, hindi sa utang. I mean, God can, in His grace, do that. Hindi tayo ililigtas sa ating lahat ng karamdaman. I mean, He can, again, do that. Pero the real reason why Christ came is to save us from the slavery of sin. Self-righteousness, us being the God of our lives. At ang means to save us is Him dying on the cross, taking our place, receiving the punishment of God na dapat po sa atin, dying a death that we deserve. That's what happened on the cross. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was a pleasing aroma sa Panginoon as a sacrifice. Because God was satisfied sa offering na si Jesus, He raised Him on the third day. He is indeed the triumphal King. He is the conquering King. He conquered sin, Satan, at saka death. Anyone who turns from their false Christ sa kanilang buhay and their imaginations and shout, Hosanna! Lord, save me! Will be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, if the gospel of Jesus Christ is not central sa life ng church na ito, we could fall into a misguided passion. I know there are churches that are full of passion, but the passions of some churches are misguided. Okay? All aspects of our church must be centered on and built around the gospel. This is the reason why we sing the gospel. We try to sing the gospel to church. We try to preach the gospel in our sermons. We share the gospel of Jesus Christ to both Christians and non-Christians. That's why may merienda fellowship, because we want to herald and encourage people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and show yung love ni Christ sa bawat isa. We need to be reminded that Jesus is the King who came to save us by dying in our place. A Jesus who reconciled us to God the Father. A Jesus who will one day come back, not riding a donkey, but with on the clouds. In power to finally destroy all the enemies and take rightful place as the visible King of creation. Darating na yung time na yung kapatid. Until then, we wait and we will continue to remember and celebrate what He has done for us. Tonight, we have that privilege to remember and celebrate the unity that we enjoy together in Christ. Sa paanong paraan? Through His death and resurrection as we take communion. Sa communion, ang tinapay ay larawan ng katawan ni Kristo at ang kopa o saro ay sumasagisag ng kanyang dugo na tumagas sa kanyang katawan para kabayaran sa ating kasalanan. The Bible gives us instructions and a warning kung sino lamang ang pwedeng kumuha ng communion. Okay? At babasahin ko po sa inyo sa 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 27 to 29. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Mga kapatid, ikaw, kung narinig mo na ang gospel ng Panginoong Jesucristo and you have repented, pinagsisiya mo na ang kasalanan mo at nilagay mo ang pananampalataya mo kay Kristo at yung ginawa niya sa krus, you are welcome to join sa hapunan na ito. Pero kung hindi pa ho, please let the bread and cup pass you. Kung ikaw naman ay taga-ibang iglesia or may part kayo ng, na ikaw ay naniwala din, sa ebanghelyo ng tinuturo iglesia na ito, welcome din po kayo na to take yung meal with us. Pero kung ikaw man ay miyembro ng iglesia na ito o miyembro ng ibang iglesia, pero meron po tayong inaalagaan at ine-enjoy na kasalanan, we encourage you to let the bread and cup pass you. Scripture warns that there were severe consequences for those who take this meal, which symbolizes our unity in Christ, while at the same time holding on to sin that divides the body of Christ. Instead, gamitin po natin itong oras na ito bilang pagkakataon na pagbulay-bulayan ng ating mga nagawa sa harapan ng Panginoon at pagsisihan ng ating mga kasalanan. Now, before we take or share yung ating communion ngayong oras na ito, let us now take a moment in silence to remember kung ano yung ginawa ng Panginoong Hesukristo sa ating buhay. Father, let the bread and the cup be nourishing sa aming mga kaluluwa ngayong oras na ito. Nawa, Panginoon, ang ginawa ni Kristo sa krus ay maging wisdom sa amin and the power of the Almighty God and Savior as we meditate kung paano mamuhay ho para sa Kanya. Amen.